Alive Bible Presbyterian Church, I bring you the greetings from my own local church, Shalom Church. And it is good to be here. It is a privilege to be here this morning to be with you in this worship service. What is the sermon text for today? It's Obadiah. Where can you find Obadiah? In the Bible. What is the Bible? The Word of God. And therefore, the message of Obadiah is the message of God to us this day. There are five things that God wants to say to you this morning from the book of Obadiah. Are you ready? Here is number one. I am sovereign. What is sovereignty? Sovereignty means God is God. And you are not. God is the God of everyone. He is the God who created everyone. And He is the God who will judge everyone. If you look back to your text in Obadiah, you know that there are two groups of people mentioned there. Who are they? Well, verse 21 mentions the Israelites. I'm sure you can locate them. Whereas verse 2 will point you to the Edomites. Did you find them? And we know that the Edomites are the main focus and the subject of these 21 verses. What does this mean? Well, it means that God is here speaking to the Edomites. God is telling them of their sins. God is telling them that because of their failure to repent, He is going to send them judgment very soon. How do you think the Edomites will respond to this message from God? If you were an Edomite living then, what would you say to God? Wrong number, God. Are you sure you got the right address? We don't know you. We don't acknowledge you. We never worship you. You are not our God. Please remember, we are Edomites. We are not Israelites. But what will God say to that rebuttal? God will say, there are no mistakes at all. You may not know me, but I know you. You may refuse to acknowledge me and to worship me, but I am still God, the God who made you, and the God who will judge you. My dear friends, this is a very common mistake that we often commit. We wrongly conclude that God is only the God of the Old Testament Israel, and God is only the God of the New Testament Church. But we cannot be more wrong. It doesn't really matter whether this morning you are from the East or from the West, and in about half an hour's time, whether your lunch is rice or potato. Your language, the color of your skin, and your age, they do not matter. Whether politically you are a capitalist or a communist, whether you believe in many gods, in one God, or in no God, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you are human. And because you are human, you are made by God. All that you have and all that you do enjoy right now, they are all God's blessings upon you. And the day will come where you have to give an account to God for your life. So it doesn't really matter whether you worship Kuan Yin or Buddha or ancestors or money or yourself or nothing. You may say to me this morning, I don't worship your Christian God, and your God therefore has nothing to do with me. The fact that you disclaim any relationship with God does not mean that there is no relationship. We will always have a relationship with God. It's either a good relationship because it is built on Jesus Christ, or it's a bad relationship because we are outside of Christ. The fact that you refuse to believe and worship God doesn't mean that God therefore ceased to be God. You might proclaim most sincerely last night that there is no such thing as the sun in this world. But that in no way affects the existence of the sun. Am I right? Because you still met the sun this morning on the way here to this church. God has a message for you. And through Obadiah, God is saying to you, I am God, the God who created you and the God who will judge you. And therefore, it is better for you to know and to worship me than to reject and despise me. What is the sermon text for today? It is the book of Obadiah. Where can you find Obadiah? You can find it in a Bible. What is the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, the message of Obadiah is God's message to you. How blessed are you this morning that God has a message for you? And this is what God has to say to you and to me this morning. Five things. Number two, this is history. Now, I'm aware that many of us do not like history. When students in school hear the word history, they say, I'm going to die. But history is important. Oh, what is history? Well, I can answer that question with one word. Facts. F-A-C-T-S. Facts. History is concerned with facts, with real people and real events. Now, note that this 21 verses of our text this morning, they are not fairy tales. It's not a science fiction. It's not a television drama. It's not internet games. It's history. What is common among fairy tales and science fiction and television drama and internet games is that they are not real. There is that female character in a drama series, K-drama, I believe. She had a very tragic ending, and you're so moved that you cry buckets, you use up all the tissue paper at home. But it has no real actual impact on your life tomorrow, am I right? Other than you go to office with sore eyes. You play your computer games, and you didn't just lose, you lose very badly. What do? You just reboot your computer and start a new game. No big deal, right? But that's not true for history. History is concerned with real people, with real events, and they have a real impact on us. Here is the prophet Obadiah, and he is real, just like you and me. And here are the Israelites and the Edomites, and the prophecy that is given here, it is uttered on a real day in history. The prophecy was uttered in the year 586 BC. In the year 586 BC, God said that he's going to judge Edom. And judgment finally started. It started to fall on Edom in 300 BC, and they were defeated, and they were conquered by their enemies. And then again in 165 BC, and then again in 126 BC, it happened. And finally, in the year AD 70, they were conquered and defeated by the Romans. From that time onwards, the Edomites, they disappear from the face of this earth. Did you not read what it said in verse 10, the last phrase? But God says to the Edomites, you shall be cut off forever. And that was said in 586 BC, and it finally came to pass in AD 70. Yes, it may be a long time gap, but I assure you, prophecy will become history. History. You say, well, you have gone on for 10 minutes on this. What is your point here? My point here is God means business. He says what he means, and he means what he says. Unfortunately, we may not, but God always does. When he said that he will destroy this world with water, He did so in the days of Noah. When he said that he's going to cut off the Edomites forever, it actually happened. And today there is not a single Edomite that you will ever be able to meet on earth. Now my God has also said in my Bible that a day will come where he will destroy this world by fire and that he will judge every one of us. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? My dear friends, God has a message for you this morning. It is history. God says what he means, and God means what he says. What is our sermon text for this morning? Obadiah, I actually wish you would answer. Where can you find Obadiah? Bible. What is the Bible? The Word of God. So, the message of Obadiah is the message of God to you and to me this morning. God has five things to say to us. Here is number three. Don't be self-confident. God has said to the Edomites, you shall be cut off forever. The Edomites replied, no, it's not possible. It's not possible because we have a strategic location. But it's true. The city of Edom was situated on a high rocky mountain. To get there, you have to pass through a very narrow path. And even if you have a huge army, the Edomites don't fear you. All they need is probably about 12 soldiers to guard their narrow path. And even if you manage to kill all the 12 soldiers, so what? Enemies are down there. We Edomites are up here. All we need to do is to throw rocks at you. You will die, and we will leave. Who can defeat us? Who can conquer our city? No wonder you hear them boasting with those words in verse 3 and verse 4. You can look at it in your Bible. It says, we dwell in the cleft of the rock. Our habitation is high. Who will bring us down to the ground? What a defiance. In fact, we will ascend as high as the eagle and set our nest among the stars. However, history informs us that the Edomites were invaded and defeated at least four times in their history. God said to the Edomites, you shall be cut off forever. The Edomites replied, no, it's impossible. It's impossible because we have an abundance of allies. Did you read verse 7? Verse 7 says that we have formed alliances with many countries. And as a result, our alliances will never invade us, but they will come to help us in time of troubles. However, history informs us once again, as it said in verse 7, that their allies actually finally betrayed them. That's the irony of human life. The thing of earth that you trust so much very often turn around and betray you at a critical juncture. How untrustworthy is man? Very often you'll find that the trust in man is like what my parents taught me when I was a boy. Don't ever hand your chickens to a fox, F-O-X, and ask the fox to guard them. You know what will happen after that. God said to the Edomites, you will be cut off forever. The Edomites replied, no, it is not possible. It is not possible because we have a great array of resources. Verse 8 speaks about our wise men. Did you read? It's M-E-N, men, plural. Verse 9 mentions our great warriors. Do you want to talk about war strategy? Talk to our wise men. Do you want to engage us in battle? Consider our warriors. So we have a strategic location. We have abundance of allies. We have a great array of resources. Surely we are invincible. Like the Titanic, we are unsinkable. Don't we often behave with such self-confidence, my dear friends? Some of us say, oh, I can sleep around as much as I like, with whomever I like, I will never get AIDS. Never. Oh, I can smoke and play with drugs. I can have my gambling every week, but I will never be hooked. And if I'm hooked, I can overcome my addictions because I'm in full control. Friends, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting in your willpower? Have you forgotten that your willpower is called human willpower? And do you remember the last time when the Edomites put their trust in human beings? What happened? God says to you, in a matter of sin, self-confidence is self-destruction. What is the sermon text for today? Obadiah. Where can you find Obadiah? In the Bible. What is the Bible? The Word of God. And therefore the message of Obadiah is God's message to you. And God has five things to say to you through Obadiah this morning. Here is number four. There is judgment. Verse 15. For the day of the Lord is upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal or your reward shall return upon your own head. Maybe you are digging your ears. Maybe you are rubbing your eyes. You say, am I in a Christian church? Or are we in a Buddhist temple? Why are you talking about retribution? Do Christians believe in retribution? Of course. But what is retribution? You reap what you sow. Is that fair? You plant an apple tree. Do you expect to get durian next year? You put in diligent studies. What do you normally expect to get? Good grades, right? If you go around sowing wild oats, if you live a promiscuous life, should you be surprised if you contract all sorts of sexual disease? In 586 BC, God said to the Edomites, as you have done, it shall be done to you. The news this morning is that as far as we know, God is still governing this world by this same principle. And therefore, God is saying to you and to me this morning, as you have done, it shall be done to you. Maybe you are saying in your heart, but that's not fair. How can you compare us to the Edomites? We don't mistreat our brothers, like what is said in verse 10 to 14. We don't gloat at their misery. We didn't betray them. Perhaps. I actually don't know many of you. So I don't know how you treat your brothers and your sisters. I don't know whether you mistreat your relatives. But please take note that what is said of the Edomites here, it is just one form of sin. Not being guilty of this particular manifestation of sin does not mean that we have no sin. The Bible teaches that we are all sinners, that our hearts, they are deceitful above all things, and they are desperately wicked. If you know me, you may have heard this story from me. Forgive me for that. I'm going to tell the same story. There once lived a five-year-old boy. 5 years old. He's probably 25 today. A five-year-old boy was trying to learn how to ride his bicycle and he fell. Oh, it was painful. It was very painful. And he started to cry, but in less than 30 seconds, he stopped crying. He picked himself up, he pushed his bicycle, and he went home. when he reached the main door of his house, he started to wail as loudly as he can. And his mother, upon hearing his cry, rushed out to find out why, and seeing his beloved son hurt, she hugged him and comforted him and did everything to console him. A neighbor happened to witness the entire incident from the time he fell to the time he went home and started crying. And so the next day he asked the little boy, boy, come, why did you not cry when you fell down there? And why do you cry only when you get home? The boy looked at his neighbor and say, why bother to cry when there's no one around to see you cry? If you want to cry, you must at least make it profitable, right? Thank you for laughing. What would you say about the behavior of this boy? 5 years old. Cute, right? Now he's 25, you know. He's still going to do the same thing. And after service, he say, uncle, can I marry your daughter? What will you say now? Yes? No? Will you call him cute? Or will you tell him you are a deceitful man? Do you really want him to be your son-in-law? Our focus is not on that boy or that young man, it's on us. Our heart is equally deceitful, maybe not in the same way as this little boy, but it is deceitful and our heart is wicked. We are sinners. And if we sow sin today, what should we expect to reap tomorrow? If today we say to God, God, I don't want you in my life, would it not be fair for God to say to you on Judgment Day, I also don't want you in my heaven? God says to you, there is judgment. You reap what you sow. For one last time, what is the sermon text for today? Obadiah, make sure you can answer this question when I call you at 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. Where can you find Obadiah? In the Bible. What is the Bible? The Word of God. So the message of Obadiah is God's message to you this morning. And God has 5 things to say to you. Number 5. There is grace. Can you look at verse 17 to 21 of our text and see what they say? The 5 verses tells us that God is going to bless and God is going to save the Israelites. Are the Israelites better than the Edomites? Not really. Are we here in this hall better off than the people in Orchard Road? Not really. Then why would God save and bless the Israelites? And why would God bless and save the people in this hall? Didn't you say that God will rule the world according to the principles of retribution? Yes, I did. And God indeed will repay us for what we have done. For He is just, 100%. But the perfectly just God, praise be to His name, is also the perfectly gracious God. If all God does is to follow the principle of retribution, we'll all be doomed. But thanks be to God, He does show grace to undeserving sinners like you and me. God blesses Christians. God saves Christians, not because Christians are good, not because we are meritorious. In fact, if we are honest, we know of some Christians, hopefully it's not you, who are worse than some non-Christians. You have met unbelievers who are model citizens, moral, good, kind, courteous, generous. And unfortunately, you have met Christians in the church. They are very nasty. But they are saved. Not because they are good, but they are saved because of the grace of God. Grace can be scandalous. But you say, how is it that we are evil and we are sinners and we are worse than many people and yet we can be saved? And why would God save us? Well, today is the Gospel Sunday, and so here is the Gospel. The Gospel is good news. The good news begins with bad news. The bad news is point 1-4 of this message. We are sinners. We deserve God's judgment. But the good news is that God loved the world and sent His only begotten Son into this world. What is His name? His name is Jesus. What did He do? He became man and He died on the cross and shed His precious blood to wash away the sins of all who will believe in Him. But you say God is just. Yes. But God is also gracious, and therefore He has not treated me the way my sins deserve, because He has treated Christ in Christ's person in the way that my sins deserved. He has poured all the curse that is meant to be poured on me, on Jesus Christ, who is sinless. And then He has sent His Spirit to turn my heart, to open my eyes, so that I may see Christ in all His beauty, and I will bow before Him and embrace Him. And at that moment, I have my sins forgiven. This is the good news. This is the Gospel. And my dear friends, grace can enter your life this day. You can say to God, your Creator, I am a sinner. I deserve hell. And if you punish me today, you are just. But I plead for your mercy. And I ask that you be gracious to me. I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. I am a sinner. And I trust that the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away my sins. Please, please forgive me for the sake of Jesus. You can pray this prayer, because this is the amazing grace of God. And once you have tasted it, you know that it is sweet. It is sweet because your biggest problem, the problem of sin, has been dealt with and you have been forgiven. You were once a lost sheep, but now you are found. You didn't find yourself to God. God found you. The good shepherd has come to look for you. Your eyes were once blind. You are unable to see. You are unable to make yourself see. Jesus has come and has opened your eyes by His great power, and now you see. God has a message for you. God says, I am sovereign. He is God. You are not. God has created you, and God will judge you. God has a message for you. God says this is history. God means what He says, and God says what He means. God has a message for you. God says, don't be self-confident. In the matter of sin, self-confidence is self-destruction. God has a message for you. God says, there is judgment. There is a coming judgment. You reap what you sow. God has a message for you. God says, there is grace. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can receive the amazing grace of God today. Why would you end 2023 without the grace of God? 6 months have passed. Would you not come to Jesus Christ this day? Let us sing in response and in closing, hymn 248, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.